It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the topic of hidden treasures. You know, when you think of hidden treasures, you may think about a can of maybe like gold coins or money that your elderly relatives maybe hid in their backyard or in their walls 50 years ago. But what about hidden treasures of the lessons that we've learned, you know, throughout life that maybe at one time were kind of an ouch experience but turned into a positive notation of I'm not going down that avenue again? Jeff?
When I was a kid, G.I. Joe was like the action figure all kids wanted, among other things. Transformers, but G.I. Joe, man.
Dude, you wanted a Barbie.
I guess to some degree, it's a man Barbie, right?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
That's Ken.
One of the things you could get was this one that had a parachute. So you'd wad it up and throw it in the air, and it would deploy, and you'd see this parachute. Well, as a kid, not understanding physics, very little parent supervision, I noticed the umbrella, and I thought, you know, what if I could be like G.I. Joe and have my own parachute? Well, I've got little mini parachutes in my house called umbrellas. And I can't be thrown in the air.
Did you test this off the roof?
Yes.
Nice.
I ruined a lot of umbrellas. Let's just say I didn't learn the first time. I just kept trying. I kept going for bigger umbrellas.
So you realize that, in fact, umbrellas do not serve as parachutes.
I can assure you that if you're in a burning building and you're going to jump, a parachute will help you. An umbrella will not.
All right.
So yeah, lessons learned.
I've got a good lesson that my wife just learned.
Uh-oh.
So she was backing out of the garage this past weekend, and she learned the difficult lesson that it's best to drive out of the garage when the garage door is up rather than trying to go through it.
Did she go through it?
Not all the way through it, but she knocked it off the track pretty good, broke a panel.
Oh, so she, you know what? I'm in that club. Remember last year I did the same thing.
Oh, that's right.
But I didn't, you said she backed into it?
Yep.
Well, that's understandable. It happens.
So she was like leaving and she went out, and when she got in the garage, she hit the button on the wall and then got into the car and started backing up, hit the button again, thinking that she hadn't put the garage door up yet. So as the door was coming down, she was backing up and caught it. It was awesome. The guys show up to basically like shove the garage door back in place and get it back to functional until they can get the part. He goes, "He did this, didn't he?" And she goes, "I wish I could blame him."
But... That's funny.
Nope, was not me.
Did he know you were blind?
No, well, he did after that.
Yeah.
He goes, when he shows up, he goes, I go, "How's it going, guys?" And they're like, "Well, good. How are you?" And I'm like, "I've been better." I've been better.
So what would be one that you've learned? You picked on your wife. How about you?
Yeah, I did pick on Brittany there a little bit,
you
huh?
You did, man. That's not nice.
Well, that's all right.
She can't defend herself.
She's not even here to defend herself, is she? I can hear her echo from downstairs. Yeah.
You will after she hears the podcast.
That's right. Well, it won't be an echo at that point.
Nope.
It'd be a whip.
Mm-hmm. What's something that you did that maybe, no, you did repeatedly that was like, come on, Tyler.
I used to spend a lot of my weekends, you know, partying and having a good time. Not hardcore rock star partying, but I was always left with, you know, this isn't all it's always cracked up to be. Then the next weekend would come along and it'd be so much fun again. You're always surrounded by all of these people who, you know, you really think are your friends, and oh, these guys are going to be my best buddies for the rest of my life. And then you kind of start to realize that all you guys come together on is partying. You don't really do anything else besides get belligerently drunk together. I guess the lesson I learned was, there's not a lot of actually true friendship in that, other than a shared experience of idiocracy.
People that I've talked to, most drug addicts don't just want to do drugs by themselves. They want to do it with a group.
Mm-hmm.
At least one other person. They want a shared experience.
Sure.
You're creating a club that it's socially acceptable for you to engage in A, self-destructive behavior, self-deprecating, but B, like you just said, it benefits nobody. But you're also chasing an artificial high.
Mm-hmm.
But you're short-circuiting these chemical electrical reactions that
dopamine hits
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, and you're forcing them to happen by self-medicating when you get the same results from actually like doing good. You know, yep. like doing something positive or helpful or constructive. There's a reward when you even clean something up. You know, your house is a mess. Yep. And when the dishes and everything are in its proper place, it feels good.
Right.
You know what the problem you run into when you do drugs? It destroys the incentive and that dopamine release you normally get. So you lose your drive.
Yep. Ambition is out the window.
To be productive in society mm-hmm. and in your own life. And all you do is chase the self-deprecating, self-destructive, addictive behavior that is the only thing now that gives you that release.
And I was just thinking about, I mean, we had some, you know, some funny times, but I was, as you were saying that, I was thinking about how every one of the funny moments or memories I can think of all had to do with laughter over someone else's stupidity.
Right, right. You know, so you are destroyed. As a teenager or as a young adult, you can't see it. Most people in America have been on some kind of roller coaster or some kind of ride that is dangerous, but 99.99999% of the time, no one's harmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a safe, socially acceptable experience that gives you the dopamine high, the hit.
You can share in a thrill ride.
That you get to share with other people, and it's fun. You know what the problem is? It's the same thing with the drugs. If you did it every day, the same ride with the same people, or even different people, do you know what happens?
Eventually, you're going to grow tired of
it. It's not fun anymore. So you're looking for a new platform that can take you further.
Yep.
There are some things that seem so safe that you think, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time. Everyone's going to have a good time. I'm not going to look stupid. You won't look stupid. It's just going to be fun. And the likelihood that something bad's going to happen.
Very slim.
You're a betting person, I bet. you go, you know what? I have a 95% chance that it will end well for me.
What makes you think I'm a betting person?
I don't know. I just...
All right. You're accurate. I've curbed that, though. Yeah, I was much more of a betting person.
I don't think that ever goes away. I think I'm a betting person. I've never...
Yeah, I'm a betting person. Well, I'll give
you have to be. That's why you will take... That's why you haven't in the past engaged in risky behavior
mm-hmm.
because the odds were in your favor. You're going to be okay and have mm-hmm. a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's some. There was enough incentive for you to say... This will benefit me somehow, whatever that was you convinced yourself.
Right, whether it be short term
or not.
This will benefit me for today, and it's not going to have any significant impact on tomorrow.
And what's funny, the older you get, I hear you talk about this. I've known you for almost 2 years now. You have gotten further and further away from the risky behavior. You're investing in things that give you the same high,
mm-hmm.
but aren't risky or dangerous at all.
I am. I definitely am somebody who's always liked big risk. Big risk, big reward. I've always been attracted to that.
Or big risk and big wreck.
Well, but that's the thing, is that's another lesson I've learned, is that along with big reward does come big wreck. Because when you take big risk, there are going to be times you do get big reward, but there's no middle ground. It's either you get big reward or you get big wreck.
It's a win or lose.
Yes. It's hard. It's a win hard, lose hard. There's no moderate in the high risk, high reward type of a lifestyle in general. And I think we all learn from what may be a lesson for me is already knowledge to you and vice versa. And we've all come from different places and have different things that seem to draw and attract us, but there's a constant fixation that we can all draw to, and that is God, right? We can all find that, and it always leads to positive outcome, to go back to probabilities.
There are some people, and I used to be one as an atheist, that I thought religious people were foolish because there's all this fun you're missing out on. There's all these things you could be doing that you're not because you're so moral and you got to do the right thing. And I didn't get it then. But people through faith have deemed the risk of trusting God, believing in a God you can't see, touch, or feel, right? You can't taste him. All of our senses are out.
I don't know if I'd go with feel. I think you can, I think you can feel the presence of God.
You're not going to touch him with your hands, what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah, yeah. I don't mean like there's... I'm not talking about spirit to spirit. I'm talking about...
Physical touch.
Yeah, physical touch. Right. Yeah, to be clear. What I've said to people, and many have said before me, it's like it's not original with me, is if you're going to live your life like there is no God, you better be right. Because if you're wrong, there's hell to pay.
Literally.
You know, now for me, though, as a person who is living the life that I'm living, I would ask you personally, you've known me for almost 2 years. Am I a happy or unhappy person? Do you think I'm on medication for depression? Do you think that I struggle to smile?
Dude, you bring a medicine cabinet in your bag every time you come over. But no, I would say you are in general pretty. I'm not giving you the word optimistic, actually, because you're kind of doom and gloom about the future sometimes.
Well, I'm a contradiction.
But as a person, you're pretty optimistic and happy.
Yeah, so it's like
it's your outlook, I guess. I can't give you optimistic.
I like to say I'm a realist. I see the world for what it is, and I don't suck on a stick of happy hopium.
Oh, like one of those lollipops they give babies when they circumcise them?
Exactly. I've never. I didn't know that. But
yeah, they give them the lollipops because you get the sugar rush for the first time as a baby, obviously, and you're probably got a little sugar high there, and then you just.
Do they really do that? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah. So, I see some people who are, we joked about it before, who are straight up delusional and won't look at the reality of what we're facing. And that's the only way they can be happy.
It's fine. It's fine. It's all fine.
It's all going to be great.
It's all fine.
Even though, you know, you're going to your destruction. Back to God. Suppose I'm wrong. Suppose my faith is nothing but hot air. What have I lost?
Nothing.
So there's nothing after life, and I'm just going to die and evaporate and go away and turn to dust.
And then you'll be a fossil fuel.
The people that I used to be, the atheists who are miserable and entering into self-deprecating, destructive lifestyles, who die premature deaths or injure themselves in horrific ways for the risks they take, I'm living a better quality of life and happier.
Yep.
Than you are with your belief in nothing.
Mm-hmm. Because as a result of a belief in nothing, you believe there is only this experience. So you just engage in all of the destructive habits and patterns and behaviors that your mind conjures up. And it really does never end well.
I'm willing to take the risk, give myself to an imaginary God, as some would see it. I used to. And have nothing afterwards. Than to believe in nothing.
Well, and look how many people believe in nothing and how, look, I mean, the amount of antidepressants that flow through society.
What's the alternative? What's the alternative?
Like, you can just tell that, and you know, like according to our belief, we believe you're missing the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't believe in that, you can tell people are missing something. People are longing for something because you're just not naturally miserable and depressed.
Well, and that's just it. They're missing something, but they believe in nothing, so they try and fill that empty spot with something.
That nothing with something. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not saying that I believe there's a possibility I'm wrong in my faith. I do not.
Sure, you're just playing what-if scenario. Yeah, right,
I'm playing the devil's advocate.
I was just going to say that, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if you want to be that.
No, I 100% believe, and as you just said... Touch. I can't touch God with my hand, but I have absolutely felt his presence.
Well, you can just, I guess the way I would describe it is you feel the move or the draw to do something that's, you know, how I would say this is before I was, you know, I was never there's no God whatsoever, but I definitely was not a practicing person of faith or a believer. 100% would say that. But I would say that those natural things you're drawn to when you're not of faith or of belief always end up destructive. Maybe not the first time, just eventually. They always end up destructive because you keep drawing back to them.
In the long game.
Yes. To where the things you're drawn to when you're a believer and of faith, now I'm not saying that anyone is perfect because, I'm still drawn to the same things.
Well, still have evil desires and
carnal. Sure.
Yeah.
I still do those things, and would I sit here and say, those are the best things I should be doing? No, I would not say that. But the things you're drawn to as a person of faith and a believer always are for good. And you can, I mean, there many times there are things you don't even want to do. You're just like, well, I don't want to do that. And then you just feel the urge that you got to do it. You act upon it. And then the release or the high that you get from doing so is always, you're exactly right. It's so fulfilling. And you just have this gratifying sensation of knowing that you just did the right thing, that you were supposed to do that. And then you can see why you were supposed to do it.
Yeah. There's no fallout, aftermath, fear, or damage control, or
no.
It's just wonderful.
You can see, all right, well, why was I just drawn to do this thing that I myself would have never chosen to do? And then you get, oh, that's why.
It's so hard to describe. I mean, you feel like a magnet being drawn to steel. It's there's this invisible draw, and it you're compelled. I mean, you have a choice.
Well, ultimately, I guess you and I believe it as in, regardless, you're going to serve one of two masters, right?
Right.
So I think you feel the same draw when you believe in nothing. And I mean, some people actively do believe in and worship Satan.
It is something. It is something.
There's that. But that's something, those things you're being drawn to, I guess it's my belief of it's the other master that's ultimately drawing you to those things.
He just masquerades as nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was his greatest ploy, right? Was the convincing of his non-existence?
Yeah. Well, he used to make it a point to masquerade as an angel of light. But yeah, I think one of the greatest things he did was to convince us he doesn't exist.
Well, wouldn't that be a masquerade of an angel of light? Of you feeling as though you have the empowerment and you should be able to do whatever you want and be whoever you want to be. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. As long as you're happy, that's all that should ever play into your equation. Isn't that kind of disguised as an angel of light? Doesn't that sound like you're being drawn to, I'm going to be the best form that I could possibly be, when in reality, it's the opposite?
Yeah. He says, I'm here to set you free, and he hooks you up with chains. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I was kind of saying that we all share in different experiences, because those chains can be hooked up in so many different varieties that what may be nothing to you walk on by may be my chain, and vice versa. And what was that? I sent you a quote the other day from Henry Ford. What was that? Pull that out.
Here it is. All life is experienced, and one level is exchanged for another only when its lesson is learned.
So, you know, to me, that's saying you don't get to level up until you've taken the lesson you've truly learned and put it away as knowledge. You've undug the hidden treasure of the lesson, which is in result, that's the knowledge, right? You dug up the knowledge from the lesson you've learned, and that's what you'll carry with you.
Yeah, and then the best part of that, if you do it correctly, it's not just knowledge that you have. You could have wisdom. And what wisdom is that knowledge correctly applied in a way that is consistent with the knowledge that ends in what we just talked about, a positive experience, not just for you, but a win for all if possible.
I guess the one key takeaway here is that carry the hidden treasures of the knowledge, apply them properly, and turn them into wisdom.
Life is a classroom. Learn something.
All right, I'm getting an A in this class, I think. Just kidding. C's get degrees, right? As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's blindly obvious, baby.